Let's thank Albert again for sharing his experience, strength, and hope. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Monica D. from the D.C. metro area.
Hi, family. My name is Monica, and I'm a recovering addict. Hey, how it works? I don't know. Because when they called me with the topic, I said, I don't know. I know more about how it doesn't work than how it works. So of course, because they, you know, people with a lot of time in here, they really like to mind your business. And of course he called me a liar. He said, I know you know how it works because you got a sponsor that works it. So okay. I want to thank the committee for asking me to do this workshop. Am I nervous? No. Lying again. That's how it works. That's how it works. You know, when I got here, I came in here very, very angry. I didn't want to do nothing. Praying and find a power greater than me, what's that? And I used the counselors in the treatment center that I was in to talk to. And what they would constantly tell me is that you need to go to a meeting and find yourself a sponsor. Make Webster your best friend. I thought I needed to go into a meeting and wait for somebody to raise their hand and say, hi, my name is Webster and I'm an addict. And that was going to be my best friend. So I went back and I told him I couldn't, you know, I ain't see nobody in there named Webster. They said, fool, we talking about the dictionary. So I went into a meeting and I sat there and I listened. And of course, the purpose for me going to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting is because I was praying for somebody to die. I thought if I sat in there long enough that they would die. And in the process of doing that, I went and got two insurance policies on them. And I prayed a little harder for them to die. And while I was sitting in a meeting, they shared about the man that lost his entire family in one day. And he didn't find it necessary to use. And he said, if you're in here, this could be the first day of the rest of your life. You don't have to use no matter what. Of course, I ain't believe that because you know when you're smoking. Ain't no way you gonna tell me I got $3 in my pocket and I can't buy half. That don't make no sense. Especially if somebody else got the other half. You know what I mean? How do you do that? How do you go, how do you have, look, check this out. How do you have a whole paycheck? And not use? I mean, how do you have a whole paycheck and pay the rent for a place that got windows? How do you pay lights and gas? And they say, well, this is how it works. You just don't use. Because if you don't use, everything will get better. I wanted to know how it's going to get better. You know, I'm praying for somebody to die. They still living. You know what I'm saying? God ain't showing up on time. You know, he doing what he want to do. Since he busy, let me do it. You know what I mean? Because I got a way to do some things and get away with it. You know, until the man in blue. The man in blue will make you humble. They will sit you down. They will ask you your name politely. And then they'll say, let me get your fingerprints. and we're going to put you right over here. Politely. So they told me, Monica, get a sponsor. And having to talk to somebody about my stupidity, because now today, after doing some step work, I know that it's stupidity. You know, because I do stupid things when I use. You know, the first step has this little saying in it. It talks about degradation, justification, manipulation, rationalization, justification. It talks about denial, mistrust. It talks about depression, self-pity. I will self-depress myself. I will put myself in degrading situations. I can't blame you for what I did. I can't blame my mama, my daddy, my kids, you know, my neighbors. I made a decision not to pay rent. I made a decision to live the way I was living and comfortable with it. Because anybody that ain't got to pay rent is comfortable. Especially in the summertime. Because you get a free breeze. Because what you ain't paying rent for ain't got no windows. Ain't got no windows, ain't got no doors. You learn how to pick cotton and ain't ever been in a cotton field. You learn how to drink, spit back, and be comfortable with it. Y'all know what that is. You know, that's when somebody drinking that pint of Wild Irish Rose, and the person that you get it after is the one that was throwing up the longest on the sidewalk. And that thing that's running down the side of the bottle. It ain't ice. Are you smoking in one of them abandoned buildings? You know, the one where the plaster just automatically come off the wall because you thought you put something behind it. And you start picking, you know what I mean? Anything white and small, gotta burn. Oh my God, so they said, Mark, you need to know how it works. I knew how that worked. Get me a hammer and tear that wall out. They had no carpentry experience at all. Oh my God, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. That's a lot of pain. And what I didn't recognize, that I was in pain. I ain't recognize that I was living in a situation that I thought was comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Because when you ain't, like I said, when you ain't got to pay no rent, no lags, no gas, you ain't even got to buy food. But you ain't going to eat no way. So they said, get you a sponsor because you don't have good sense. And I didn't. I would say whatever would come to my mouth. If I thought it, I said it. And I felt you needed to hear it from me. Because it didn't seem like nobody else was going to tell you. Everybody's patting you on your back saying, oh, you look good. No, you don't. No, you don't. So my sponsor asked me about the principles of the program. No, he asked me if I had any character defects. I thought, hell no, I ain't got no character defects. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Then he asked me about the spiritual principles of the first step. I said powerlessness and unmanageability. What he said was, start over. You need to start over. Powerlessness and unmanageability are actions. They are not principles of the first step. So I had to read the first step for 30 days. I got to the 28th day and something happened, I got busy. So I had to start over. Because if you don't do 30 days, you gotta start over. And I was saying, what is this start over business? But every time I read the first step, I started getting something different out of it each time. And as I started looking and listening and paying, I started to study the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. And in that first step where it talks about the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, the surrender and the humility, what I got out of it for me, if I don't have any acceptance, none of those principles are gonna work. If I don't have any acceptance, I'm not gonna be humble. I'm not gonna practice no humility. I am not gonna surrender to the will of God. Didn't realize all of that. And then I found a power that's greater than me, because see, I know that I didn't get me here. I know this. I know that there's a power that's greater than me. I know that when I put my hands in the cookie dough and trying to change the shape of the cake, let me put it like this. When I try to change the expiration date, when God has already put a stamp on it and say it's over, if it's over, let it go. But now we need to work on it this way. If I go across the street after the light change, I might not get hit by that thing they call pain. But if I recognize that it's God's will and it's not mine, then I go right back to the principles in the first step. Being honest with self, because I don't need to be honest with you. That was revealed to me. I used to say I found out. My sponsor said, stop saying that you found out. You ain't find out shit. It's just been revealed to you because God's ready for you to know. I'm just talking about how it works. How it works. I used to hear people talking about, oh, I'm so afraid to go into the fourth step. People use when they do a fourth step. But if you look deep enough in the first step, you've already uncovered half of this shit in the fourth. Because fourth step talk about degradation, too. It talk about manipulation, too. It talks about all the things that if you pick up and use, you'll do it again. You'll do it again. So I have to remember what I get first when I use. I get again. I hear people talking about, oh, you get a not yet. You start off where you left off. Hell no, you don't. You don't start off broke. You don't start off broke, but you get again first, because the shame gonna come in, the misery gonna show up. Then that self-pity, you know, the pity pot that you're using that somebody else need, you're going to take over. And bottom line, your address will always change again. Ain't no not yet in there yet. Now, if you live and suffer long enough, you may get a not yet. But your guarantee is you're going to get again. So I had to sit down and tell somebody all that stuff. I had to find somebody that I could absolutely trust to tell all that stuff. And I sat down with my sponsor, and he pulled out a notepad and a pencil and started writing. I said, I know damn well he ain't writing what I'm saying down. But he listened. He just kept writing. He said, "I hear your character defects." I said, "Ain't none of that none of mine. I'm not taking ownership to being selfish, manipulative, being in denial, just lying. I'm not taking, because I don't lie." You ever met a crackhead that didn't lie? Look, Boo Boo the Fool always said, "I'll be right back." "Wait right here. I promise you, I'm coming back this time." And what you do? You wait. So in those character defects, what I had to do, those shortcomings, they call them, when they show up, be humble. I didn't understand that. But constantly reading and reading and reading, I realized I don't have to be humble to nobody. I need to be humble to the power that's so much greater than me. So when that character defect, that shortcoming, when it show up, I learn to recognize that it's showing up. Because I've been practicing, when does the program kick in? Because you know, you're thinking now. You get a chance to think, now this is the program. And when I show up, because see, I have a committee. We all do. But see, my committee don't need lights. Okay. My committee don't need no lights. They say, "Come on downstairs and turn off the lights." For what? I don't need no lights. My committee operates in the dark. You know what I'm saying? Justification at one end, manipulation at the other. You know what I mean? Just all that stuff. And then the knock on the door is pain. So if I don't like the way I feel when I act the way I act, then I'll stop doing what's making me feel the way I feel. So I needed to get humble, meaning I needed to get a little closer with the power that's so much greater than me. And what that taught me was I need to be humble to God. I need to be humble to God, because when my sponsor ain't around, people in my network ain't around, when it's just me and my committee with no lights, if I invite God in openly, willingly, honestly, and willing to surrender and accept whatever his will is, I got a chance. I got a chance. So when it came to making that making that list, you know, the people that you harmed, the mama that you lied to, you told you going to the store, watch the baby, I'll be right back. And you came back like 2 weeks later. You know, you was going to get the Similac. With the crisp brand new $20 bill that your mother just gave you. "I'm coming right back, I promise you." Gee. Boo Boo the Fool said, "Look, so and so got testers and it's going on. All you need is $2. I had 20. Brand new $20 bill. Fold it one time. Down the middle." I had to make amends for all of that. But I was still feeling uneased. And I couldn't figure out why I was feeling uneased. So I had to reach back into the third step, where it talks about God's will and not yours. I had to reach back to understand that powerlessness and unmanageability also truly means for me, I will always be powerless over God's decisions, totally unmanageable of my feelings. So it don't matter how you feel, you still got to make an amends. And what I had not recognized is that I had not made an amends to myself. So I thought, because when you don't use, you make an amends to yourself. People that don't accept your apologies and amends just don't use. And you make an amends. People that you can't go to and say, I'm sorry for robbing your bank. Well, they'll lock you up, so don't do that. So I had to pay attention to what was going on with me. And you know, when you start doing that inventory, when you know, when you're acting out on character defect, see, when you do an inventory, what it does, it will restore you to some sanity. That was revealed to me too. When you do a thorough 10th step, it will restore you to some sanity. Because see, I understand today that my character defects are like that person that said, wait right here, I'll be right back. But when they show up, Monica, what do? Gotta be humble. You gotta be humble. Understand that prayer is asking God for knowledge of his will, not yours. Your will is not to pay rent. Lights, gas, water, and buy food. Understand, God's will is something that you would never understand. You just got to accept it when it shows up. Then they told me I had to sponsor people. What for? What for? Because, Monica, the only way for you to keep what you have is to give it back. Needless to say, I need to let y'all know I've been in service since I had 30 days clean. I started, I had to understand the traditions when I got 60 days clean. When I got 18 months, I started practicing the principles in my life every day. I was told, if you're not practicing the principles in every area of your life, then you need to get rid of one of those areas. Because it's something that ain't working. It's something that you're trying to work. Understand that everything that you have is borrowed from God. And when he's ready for it, he's going to remove it. So what I've learned in this program is that everybody get a turn. I just had a body shot. My mom just passed about a year now. And what came across my mind was I heard a speaker say that every knee will bow before God. And he went on to explain it. He said, I'm not talking about when you kneel down beside your bed. It's an experience that you got to get on your own. So the day of my graduation, I bowed before God. It was a painful situation. It is unexplainable. But when I got here early on, I heard a man talk about his mama every day. I thought she was living. She was somewhere sick. But he had been crying about his mother for 5 years, every day. And because I was who I was when I got here, you know, I had something smart to say. When my mother died, I am not going to act like that. It don't make no sense for somebody to cry like that. But when I got my turn, see, I'm talking about when I got my turn, it was a whole different story. So you get a turn in here, Monica. Pay attention to your story. Always remember the end. Not when you were two. You probably can't remember two. But you're going to make something up. I'm talking about self-deception now. You know that character. One of those character defects is self-deception. I get caught up in self-deception, get caught up in denial, sitting there in self-pity, self-induced depression. And now I'm in a degrading situation, manipulating and justifying about why. So I pay attention to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I pay attention to the principles of this program because it's changed my life. And that's how it's been working for me. It ain't over because I still got some more work to do. I had a newcomer come to me and said, "Monica, you still here?" I said, "Yeah, I'm getting ready to celebrate 10 years. I said, "How much time you got?" They said, "Oh, I'm still trying to get back." And the only thing I could do was hug him and let him know there's always a seat in Narcotics Anonymous for you. Your name might not be on the chair, but if you come in, there's one available. Monday, I'll acknowledge 13 years. And wow, through the process of the program, I was not like this when I got here. And people that know me knows that. It took some outside help for me too. I got tired of paying her $25. Because she gave me, one of the last things that she said to me was, "Let me explain something to you. I can write you a prescription. I can change the medication, change the dose, raise it or lower it. But I cannot write you a prescription for the things that God has control over." I went to a meeting the next day and put $2. And that became my therapy. The meetings became my therapy. So how it works, get a sponsor. They told me what to do when I got here. When New Jack City would come on, I had one of those counselors that would call me and say, "Change the channel." I'm trying to figure out how you know I'm watching New Jack City. It's like he's paying attention to the TV guide more than me. But I love New Jack City. That is my story. That's my story. And every time I would watch it, I would get so excited. Damn, I wonder if they're doing it now. Oh my God, I wanted to buy a ticket to go find out. And somebody called and said, "Turn the channel." I'm talking about how God works. And I appreciate that today. Without the love and understanding and the empathy of a sponsor. Sponsor. A lot of work. 13 years, 24 hours. Just thinking about another 24 is hard. But thinking about 13, I'm a teenager now. Look, I can come off the front porch. Again, my name is Monica, and I'm a recovering addict. Thanks for letting me share.